Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. As Veterans Day approaches this weekend, Mission Continues fellow Monica Ramirez brings us part one of a three-part series exploring the stories of local veterans and their families as they work their way through the St. Louis VA system. If you or a loved one has had experiences with the VA, we'd like to hear them. Tweet us at STL on Air with the hashtag MySTLVA. Mission Continues is an organization founded by Eric Greitens that places veterans into the workplace based on skills accumulated during military service. Former combat correspondent Monica Ramirez combined her training here at St. Louis Public Radio with the radio experience she had from her time in South Korea. She shares these stories with us now.
The care is awful for our vets.
Nobody would hear me out. Nobody would listen to my symptoms.
They're just waiting for them to die so they don't got
to
deal with it.
They're waiting for us to die. That's what they're doing.
To apply or determine your eligibility for health care, press 3.
We applied for them back in 2007. They denied it, said he wasn't sick enough.
I had to jump through some hoops for a couple weeks. I had to...
6 months ago.
Stay on the streets.
This claim was approved, and the doctor refused to talk to me at all. He wouldn't talk.
And try to stay clean. And call daily to find out if they had a bed opening.
Welcome to the VA St. Louis healthcare system. If you are having a medical or mental health emergency, hang up and call 911.
They put us in a position that, you know, that we got to fight and fight. And then some of these guys go so far and they ain't going to fight no more. Something's going to happen.
These are the stories of veterans in St. Louis fighting to get help from the VA after returning home from service. I'm Monica Ramirez. For this three-part series, I talked with veterans and family members of veterans about their journey recovering from the consequences of war through services provided by the VA. We'll start at the beginning here in part one, the part where veterans apply to the VA for healthcare benefits through a long and complicated application process. In part two, we'll hear their stories about the care they receive from doctors there. In part three, we'll hear what actually helps these veterans as they attempt to heal and return to everyday civilian life.
Part one, benefits and the application process. The VA just isn't doing enough or even listening, leaving veterans that fought for us to fight the system. And for some vets, this battle is life or death. Veterans have died waiting for medical care that they need. Long waits for medical appointments for a vet suffering from physical or mental pain can lead to negative or destructive behavior. Secretary of Veteran Affairs David J. Shulkin doesn't want to hear it anymore. The secretary released this interview with the American Veteran on March 14, 2017.
I think that it's time to stop beating us up, and I think that it's really gotten to be an old story. I'm disappointed that there seems to be an obsession with finding our failings. This constant berating is really painting a picture that frankly is a disservice to the hundreds of thousands of our employees who come to work. And it's a disservice to our veterans because it breaks down their confidence in the system. And I worry that there are people who need help who don't come to us because they hear this narrative in the community.
However, the diverse narratives that I've been gathering from fellow veterans all tell the same story. During his service in the Marines, Jonathan Hurley was deployed twice before he was discharged for medical reasons. He turned to the VA for help. Jonathan talks about how frustrated the VA made him when they refused to even listen to the symptoms he was experiencing and the lack of compassion he received during the application process.
It was impossible. Nobody would hear me out. Nobody would listen to my symptoms. You know, nobody would kind of acknowledge it. So I gave up on that. You know, they talked about, okay, do you want a, you know, psychological screening? Do you want to claim any PTSD or anything like that? Like, no, I don't want anything to do with any of that. I just want to claim the basic cancer stuff. I don't want to talk about anything else. I just want to get, you know, I just want to get out and be done. And which was a mistake.
You see, Jonathan had been diagnosed with testicular cancer when he came home from Afghanistan mid-service. He was medically discharged from the Marines and referred to the VA for treatment. It was well into his cancer treatment at the VA that things got really complicated. He found out that in order to get help for what he called a mental fog, his whole medical history needed to be re-examined from the beginning.
They started this process that reevaluated every single one of my claims. And I knew it wasn't normal. I knew something was wrong. He's like, I need to make sure, you know, we're going over all of your claims. I need to evaluate that you had cancer. I'm like, well, you think I don't have, like, like I suddenly, like, all that disappeared, you know? And he's like, why, you know, and he checked him a surgical site. The whole thing was just ridiculous. And at the end of it, he's like, okay, that's it. I'm like, what do you mean that's it? Like, what happened to actually investigating the claim I submitted for? And he said, no, we're not doing that today. We're just evaluating your cancer diagnosis.
However, compared to many seeking help, Jonathan was fortunate. The Marines helped him get into the system. So many veterans getting out transition without this help. Tim Yandel is one of the many veterans that fell through the cracks.
It sucks. It's not fair. You know, the humility that, you know, that we feel, you know, I feel that I earned the right to be treated, but they act like you had to go through hoops and prove yourself in order to be treated.
Veterans returning home have no idea what they qualify for or even if they're eligible. The VA doesn't exactly broadcast what they offer. You have to go out there and research what kind of services you qualify for.
I was out-processed and put back to the streets. No benefits were entitled to me at the time that I was aware of. I wasn't aware of any kind of veterans services.
The VA needs to do a better job of informing our veterans. A telephone hotline just isn't going to cut it anymore.
They need to really emphasize that, and they need to let these resources be known to the general public. I think there should be more commercials on TV about things like that. Now that you got more and more veterans committing suicide, waiting to get medical treatment and stuff like that, now they're going to address it. But heck, this has been going on for years. Like a lot of things in the program, if you don't say something about it, they're not going to be forthcoming with it.
Gerald Agee was drafted during the Vietnam War during a time when soldiers were coming home just to have the public spit on them and call them baby killers. He's been fighting with the VA for 10 years to get his disability.
Work and work and work and work, and they'll give you 30% or 20%, or either they are denied a guy, they have doctors there that can't speak English. They say you don't have PTSD and stuff like that. This is nonsense. You know, It's just a sad deal.
Veterans like Gerald all say the same thing.
They try to help you a little bit, and then stop. And that's what they did with me, stopped. I guess you're going to fight until you die. I hope I don't. I want to get my 100%, and that's it. And I'll walk away from them. I don't like to go to the VA at all. They don't care about us. They want to push us to a side. And the people that's coming back from Afghanistan, they're going to do the same thing to them down the road, just like they're doing to the Vietnam vets, which is not right. Our government is not really doing their job to try to take care of us. Government needs to pick up the pieces and make things better, or either they need to stay out of the wars.
Gerald is still battling to this day for his disability claim to be approved.
They put us in a position that, you know, that we got to fight and fight, and then some of these guys go so far and they ain't gonna fight no more, or something's gonna happen. I've been to hell and back twice. That's all I gotta say.
All right.
That's it.
Some veterans feel that the VA makes the claim process difficult on purpose. It's almost like the VA knows that most veterans will give up over time. Just applying requires multiple visits to various organizations. Step number one, see an eligibility specialist. Before you can get any kind of medical treatment, you have to see them first, just to figure out what kind of treatment you are currently eligible for. Step number two, file for disability. This is mail-in or in-person only. You'll need to complete an intent to file, VA Form 21-0966, an application form, VA Form 21-526EZ, with all evidence supporting your condition. And finally, if you need to have the VA get medical records from any other supporting doctors or civilian hospitals, then you will also need VA Form 21-4142A in order to request these records. However, this will slow the claims process significantly. It's hard to believe this would all be possible without the help of organizations such as Disabled American Veterans, the American Legion, or AMVETS, who file this paperwork and advocate on the veterans' behalf. Once completed, the finalized forms will be sent to the VA for processing. There are only 2 claims intake centers in the entire United States, so processing them can take from 6 months to a year. This is the most frustrating step in the process. Lori Odie, a widow of Vietnam veteran Donald Odie, talks about the uphill battle he faced applying for disability only to finally get it shortly before his death.
When he passed, he had cancer, and they knew he had cancer, but they told me I can't receive his Agent Orange benefits. We applied for him back in 2007. They denied him, said he wasn't sick enough.
The VA finally decided he was sick enough on his deathbed in 2015.
They decided he could get it then, but never gave us no back money from 2007 where he applied. You know, they dropped it on our guys over there. But oh well, let's not do nothing for you.
Many veterans just give up, letting their claims expire altogether. But without it, they can't function, resulting in broken families and worsening physical and mental conditions.
Why couldn't they give my husband this money when he was up walking around? Wait till he's crippled, practically on his deathbed. They're just waiting for them to die so they don't got to deal with it. You got to fight to get your money from them, then you get to fight for how they treat you.
In response, the Medical Center Director for the VA St. Louis Healthcare System, Keith D. Repko, responded to the lack of knowledge veterans had to the resources available to them. He also wanted to extinguish any preconceptions veterans may have about getting health care here at the VA St. Louis.
Getting the word out to the veterans on the services that we provide and are available to them is crucial. And I would say, you know, the VA, we probably rightly so, need to be beat up a little bit for not getting that word out. It amazes me that when we talk to veterans, and their answer troubles me when they say, well, that's for a different veteran, or that's for somebody more deserving, or I wasn't in combat, or, and I routinely hear this from Vietnam era veterans and older, well, I don't want to take it away from the younger veterans. And that's not how we work. That's not how we're funded. The more veterans come, the more money we have to reach out to yet even more veterans. And that seems to be a misconception, a myth that we want to bust. We appreciate the opportunity to get that message out. Get whatever level of care that is that you need, because you've earned that right.
When it came to fielding complaints, Director Keith Repko dives further into how veterans can advocate for themselves when they encounter problems in the VA.
We are currently down a number of patient advocates because of retirements. We are in the process of recruiting to get fully staffed again. But we also, in each of our service, we have service level liaisons, and those are people that are empowered in each service to attempt to make it right. Ask for the service level liaison, or in many places we have that person's picture posted of who that service level liaison is. And then again, last resort, Dr. Critton and I in the executive office up here, you know, we will deal with it. Ultimately, we want every veteran to have the best experience they can.
Hopefully, the vets out there know that there are people out there working tirelessly to fix the many issues in the VA. People like Senator Claire McCaskill, one of the most outspoken advocates for veterans out there. May 2016.
There's obviously much more work to do, and I will not give up until I am confident that every veteran is getting the care they so deserve for the service they have given this country. Keeping our word to our veterans reflects on the moral character of our nation, and until we do it right, none of us can rest easy.
During his official swearing-in ceremony, Secretary Shulkin made this statement.
We can fulfill President Lincoln's promise and our sacred mission to care for him and now for her who shall have borne the battle. There is no nobler mission or higher calling for me, and it would be my distinct honor and privilege to lead this effort.
The American people need to come together and remind the Secretary what it really means to keep President Lincoln's promise. The government forgets just what kind of people enlist. People that just want to serve their country with distinction. People like Jerry Allen.
The highlight of my life was serving my country in time of war.
People like these are the ones the VA is letting down. In part two of this series, we'll discuss the VA's poor communication with veterans, failing healthcare, and the lack of trust between veterans and their doctors. Until then, I'm Monica Ramirez, reporting for St. Louis Public Radio.
That was Mission Continues fellow Monica Ramirez, who continues to follow these veterans through their journey with the VA in Part 2 and Part 3, which airs here tomorrow and Friday. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.